just 6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And that's a thought-provoking question. You know, would I be cool with an 8-9 record this year? I'm going to say anything. I got to see 9 wins. Now, 9 used to be maybe you're a playoff team. Maybe not, but you were darn close. Now it's, you know, 10 to 11 can still be that with the way, with the added game. And, well, I guess the added playoff thing kind of maybe balances that out, the playoff team. But I you can't tell me that trading another first-round pick for Sean Payton and paying him what they're going to be paying and all that stuff is only going to be good for 3 more wins. That's essentially what we're saying is Sean Payton and then all these moves that they made is only going to be good for 3 more wins.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see teams, you know, mortgage players or draft picks or whatever to get themselves into a window. When we talk about windows with sports, it's not open all the time. And it's the length of it's open depends on your talent. How are you able to keep your talent in-house? How are you able to develop that talent? So in the NFL, I forgot where I was going.
You escalate. No, I get where you're going with that because you're talking about a window and creating a window. And in the NFL, if you're saying, if you want to do what Miami's doing, Miami hired a young coach to have him come in and see what he can do. They drafted a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they're letting those guys grow up together. Oh, and then we added a piece here. Tyreek Hill, big piece, but we added him. And we've got a couple of guys that are ours. The Broncos, aside from the defensive side, on the offensive side, they flat out said, no, we're going to go buy a quarterback. We're going to go buy a coach that hasn't grown up in this league, a guy that's already done it for a long time, because the rookie coach situation's not working out. So the Broncos, whether they care or not, the pressure on them now is, the window is here. Whether you really believe it or not, the money would tell you that the window to be at least competitive again and get into the playoffs, and dare I say the big SB, is now in the next 5 years because of the money and the trades you put out there, even though what we saw last year would not tell us they are in any kind of window at all. And that's what I think is so – that's why I think it was so tough for Nathaniel Hackett last year. Was because you hire a rookie coach, but then you bring Russell Wilson, and now you're saying, you better produce because that's Russell freaking Wilson. And when you don't, okay, you're our scapegoat.
Is it different with the Broncos because since Peyton Manning, they never really made it a rebuild year or like a tanking type of season? Because the leftovers of that defense in the Super Bowl, you thought would be enough to carry you for a few more years while you find the quarterback.
Well, what's so crazy about that, because you brought up Brock Osweiler earlier. Talk about one of the biggest botched situations that Elway had was the way they handled Brock Osweiler. Now, I don't know if that would have worked out, but the plan
B. It didn't seem like the team was set like, okay, if we win the Super Bowl, we're going to rebuild the next year. It was, we won the Super Bowl, we feel good about Brock and our defense to carry it on.
Because honestly, Peyton wasn't very good that regular season. In the playoffs, he was good enough. Mentally, he was really good because he was doing things that Brock couldn't do, and that was changing the plays at the line of scrimmage, adjusting the offensive line schemes, and things like that. Peyton was great at that, and he utilized that to the best of his ability, perhaps ever in the history of his life, was in those playoffs because he couldn't rely on the same strengths that he relied on his entire career. So the Broncos looked at that and said, well, Peyton wasn't that good, and we won the Super Bowl. So a healthy Brock Osweiler was, dare I say this, physically better than what we got from Peyton Manning from game one to the Super Bowl. And maybe that was true.
And we talked about it in the first hour about did they allow themselves to rebuild, or was it just we're a quarterback away, and that's all we need to get us back to competing? And they never looked at themselves and said, no, we actually need to rebuild for a year. And that is just kind of snowballed, not snowballed to a growing effect, but it's just you're kicking the can down the road waiting, oh, we need a quarterback, need the quarterback. Now you have your quarterback, and you're forced to look at the other issues.
Well, the first thing I looked at was they weren't necessarily saying they were a quarterback away. They felt like they were the 49ers, a lesser 49ers.
You didn't need a great quarterback.
Yeah, because
for the offense and the defense.
Our defense is coming back, some of them. Like, I think they lost, didn't they lose like Danny Trevathan right off the bat and a couple other guys? But they were bringing back Chris Harris Jr., Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, like some good players from that Super Bowl run. So they're thinking, we've got a good enough defense to carry us while Brock Osweiler figures it out. Oh, John Elway didn't call Brock. So it's, what, Trevor Siemian was next?
For 2 years.
So it was Trevor Siemian. He'll be fine. And they were. They were 9-7 that year. Those were glorious days, but even, compared to what we've seen.
You have to remind me, was Trevor pegged to be the starter, or was that just, that's who we have?
That was who you have.
Because Paxton or whoever didn't work out.
Yeah, well, Brock, they let go, and then the Paxton experiment was bad, and Trevor just kept finding himself. He'll go down in history as one of the strangest situations for the Broncos at quarterback, because you kind of know him and you kind of liked him, but you also knew that that wasn't going to work. So then Elway kept trying. Okay, he drafts Paxton Lynch thinking, we draft a young quarterback now and let him grow up through the system while this defense holds us above. And then Gary Kubiak leaves. That wasn't part of the plan. Now, we can all argue as to why. Health reasons for Kubiak, disagreements with John Elway, maybe a mixture of both. He's gone. He was only the Broncos head coach for 2 years.
And then who was after Kubiak?
That was VJ. That was Vance.
Okay.
And that's who Kubiak kind of recommended was, hey,
that's how you would want to go towards, you know, if you went
young.
If they went to Fangio immediately, it would have changed the expectation because you would have expected Fangio to have success
even
right
though
away.
He wasn't a head coach before, but still he is the experience and everything.
But with Vance, it's kind of, hey, you're new at this, we'll give you some leeway.
And that's why he was given leeway. He was given two seasons as opposed to one like Hackett because they weren't drafting Russell. They weren't trading for Russell Wilson type guys. They were giving him garbage, and Elway had to look in the mirror and go, because they almost fired him after year one.
So did they give him garbage with the intention to tank and rebuild or
no.
Just work with it?
I don't think John Elway ever thought of this team as being in a tank situation. And that's, you know, different circumstances, but, you know, kind of like the Rockies not admitting they were ever, that they're just in full-on rebuild mode. We want you to come out and see these future stars for the Rockies this season. They didn't do that. The Broncos didn't do that really either. It was, I mean, if you just go through the rosters for this team over the years, it was never a situation where it felt like the Broncos were tanking going forward. It really didn't.
Yeah, I was just trying to circle that all back to the windows conversation with sports, and that you'll see teams trade a bunch of players or picks or whichever to open up their window while also realizing, hey, we're going to open this window, but when it closes, we're going to be rebuilding it. The Broncos, they never really closed that window.
No.
They kept it cracked open as much as they possibly could until last year where it finally shut on them.
Yeah, you can just look back at what the plan was over every year was, okay, we like the defense in 2016. We're going to draft Paxton Lynch and we're going to get Trevor Siemian to kind of hold it down, but we're still in somewhat of a window here. We got Gary Kubiak and Peyton wasn't really that great.
You had the offense and all that.
Yeah. So then Trevor doesn't work out. So then it's the next year and they go get Brock Osweiler back. So they get him back the next year because he goes to Houston and that was a train wreck. And Elway paints the picture as, you know what, we're going to get Brock back here and we're going to get him into quarterback rehab. And then I actually thought Brock was given another unfair shake in that final stint because, you know, you kept going, you really wanted Paxton Lynch. He got two starts and Trevor Siemian had 10 and Brock had 4.
Whoa.
But they wanted to be done with the Brock thing and the Trevor Siemian thing. So then it was Paxton Lynch time. Let's just let him take over. So then that was almost like, we're done. We can't do it with these guys. Paxton, see what you got, and we'll go nuts. Those were Vance Joseph's 2 years. He had 5 quarterbacks today. Well, 5 changes at quarterback because of all those guys. And so to defend Vance Joseph, it was like this was, you never gave the guy a real chance.
So is it fair to say since the Super Bowl, no Broncos coach has been told, you are rebuilding this team?
Nope. I think that's fair to say. I think with Vance Joseph, it was Gary's gone. We were 9-7 with Trevor Siemian. We're going to draft Paxton Lynch and get, build him up for the future. But you, there's no reason we can't win 10 or 11 games coming up here with Trevor Siemian with another year under his belt. Let's go with that route. And then that was bad. And then the next year's, well, plan B was Brock Osweiler, so let's get him back over here. So then that turned out to be another turn. That was, again, that was Vance Joseph's shot. And then the next year, you hire Vic Fangio, and it's, we'll give you Case Keenum. That guy did it for 1 year in Minnesota. Look what he did, man. And we're going to sign him for a two-year deal.
Draft Locke at that point, too?
No. Locke's rookie year was the year they brought in Joe Flacco.
Okay.
And again, look at these patterns. It was, we kind of going young. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, maybe, young. And then it was, no. Let's go back to the Peyton Manning thing. Case Keenum, monster year for you. We're signing you to a two-year deal. That didn't work out. That was Vance Joseph's first year. So, you know what? I don't have any patience. Let's do both this year. Let's do both. Joe Flacco, draft Drew Locke.
Mm.
Even though Vance Joseph is very much a Teddy Bridgewater kind of guy, let's get him a gunslinger. Let's get him Jay Cutler 2.0, attitude, cocky, that kind of guy. Let's get him a Drew Locke type dude. Game management doesn't know the meaning of it. Like, let's give him that guy. Two totally opposites. But we got Joe Flacco to help fill in the gaps. Flacco was not in his prime. He was bad. Drew Locke ends up getting the job. And whoa, four hope. Games. There was hope. And it was like, oh, here we go. So Vance Joseph gets a third year. And it's the Drew Locke thing all over again. And it just was, he gets, that was his second year, excuse me. And it was just, again, bad again. Same situation. And then, of course, the Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke situation was just really frustrating. That, to me, was anyway. But again, it was, there's no necessary rhyme or reason as to what John Elway was doing with his quarterbacks. You never found, after the Paxton Lynch thing, the idea of getting a first-round quarterback was out the window. Drew Locke, second round, going to be an experiment. Or was he a third-rounder?
I won't say second.
They got second because they traded stuff. Absolutely wild, wasn't it? I mean,
so now going through all of that, and we, you know, see, okay, they didn't have a plan here. They kind of had a plan here. Do they have a plan this year?
The plan is, the Russ thing better take hold.
I'm going to bet on the quarterback again.
Yep, that better take hold because didn't work out, you know, like we had hoped it. We got the coach now, though. We got the veteran coach. And the Broncos, three misses in a row after Gary Kubiak. Three, even though Vance was older, or Vic was older, he was not a veteran coach. Didn't have any experience at the head coaching spot. So since Gary Kubiak, they hadn't gone for it. You know, you go Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, and Nathaniel Hackett, all failed. Fairly miserable situations for them. So let's go all in. And this isn't an Elway thing, but this is let's go all in on the coach. And it worked with Elway when he got John Fox. And then Gary Kubiak kind of worked out, at least the 1 year. Still weird. Weird short little stint there that just happened to be Super Bowl year. So it is really fascinating to look at just how the Broncos, just at the quarterback position alone, just how the Broncos have screwed that up. So that's the plan, and is we traded everything to get Russell Wilson. We traded everything to get Sean Payton, or we traded another first round pick to get Sean Payton. We're paying him a lot. And it better work out. That situation just better work out. It's wild. Absolutely wild. All right. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 20 minutes after the hour. More on that. More on the Broncos. And I'm taken back here. I'm looking back at games that the Broncos played in over the last, you know, when during the Peyton Manning run, and we were spoiled rotten. We didn't know what we had. I mean, maybe we did. We all loved it. We all enjoyed it. It was fantastic. But I want to go back to those days. Can we ever get there? We'll talk more about the Broncos coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Man, it is scorcher out there. It was yesterday. It's going to be like that today. It is nice, though, even though I went out to the trampoline park and was still sweating my butt off, to know that when I got home, I could go take a nice shower, get out, and you're greeted with this amazing air conditioner that just cools the house off. It is so comfortable. It makes everything better. And if you don't get to enjoy that, or you're walking in going, why is it still so warm in here and the air conditioner is weird and it's not always rolling, talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll get you going. They'll take care of that air conditioner. It's starting to run more and more now. You're using it a lot more. Maybe it never recovered from last summer and you kind of forgot about it. Well, check out our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Their website, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Call 970-567-0798. Dixon texting in 8, 8, 9 or 9 and 8 gets you in that no man's land of the draft. Can talk about Sean Payton all you want, but Russ's salary and the draft capital you gave up by itself also demands making the playoffs. Yeah, that in theory is a nice idea, but you, Dixon, you saw what I saw last year. So if you're a fan coming into this year going, it's playoffs or bust, you're going to be severely let down. Should the expectations be high because of Russ's salary and the trade and everything? Yes, they should. But we saw the fiasco that was last year. If you're coming in here going guaranteed playoffs, I think that you didn't really watch a lot of those games last season.
And when we say, you know, not repeating the same thing as last year with the hype and the expectation of it, you can't just ignore what happened last year because of it's a new coach and because it's, oh no, that was just Russ and Hackett not working out. Russ is going to be good this year. Maybe, but that excitement and that hype doesn't take away what happened last year. And the reality is the team around him wasn't that good either.
They say you're only as good as your last game, your last season, or whatever, based on what we saw with Russell Wilson. Yeah, his last two games were better, but the body of work that he produced,
better compared to whatever Christmas was.
Right. And that Christmas game?
Patrick Starr was laughing at you on TV.
That was scorched earth mode for me. I was like, this is it. You got Russell Wilson locked up, and you are in no man's land here. You got no future. Now, I felt a little better after the two games, you know, you looked a little bit better, and obviously they move on from Nathaniel Hackett, and was it all just the coach? Maybe there was a good chunk of it, and you just didn't have a competent enough coach to deal with Russell. Well, and they tried to change him. They did try to change him. Maybe that was Russ's own fault, but the head coach's job is to save the players from themselves sometimes.
And this is the wristband, Brady.
The wristband.
Jerry, what was he doing?
I don't want to wear that wristband. I got to prove that I don't need it. Well, you need stuff, you know? You need offenses that can help you out.
You need high knees on the flight to London.
Quarterbacks, yeah. Quarterbacks need structure. Yes, they can be gunslingers and run around. Patrick Mahomes can do amazing things, man. But he needs some structure that Andy Reid has helped provide for him. That's
not
saying
just Reid, it's his home life too.
Yeah.
Watch the documentary.
Oh yeah, you gotta watch that. I do, yeah.
The other side of it.
There's so much of it that goes into that. Quarterbacks need the right situation. I don't know why, but the whole Aaron Rodgers Jets thing to me, I'm not concerned because I'm not a Jets fan, but I would be like, is this a guarantee that this is gonna work? To just plug in a stud quarterback that's aging, and away we go. But you still need the right coaching staff to help put you in the correct place. You can be. We've seen great quarterbacks go to different teams, and it just doesn't work. And that's not to say that Joe Montana wasn't a great quarterback because, oh, he went to Kansas City and wasn't very good, and then that just proved that he wasn't great. No, football is a game that just takes time to figure out your teammates and everything. So, yeah.
Would Peyton Manning have been as successful in Denver without John Fox?
And John Fox was a good coach for a Peyton Manning type guy. You know, more of an old school football kind of guy. More of a defensive minded guy, too, that he could really focus on the defense while, okay, I can trust Peyton Manning to be. And Manning was one of those that was just a rare, you know, he doesn't go into a system. The system is him, so they have to figure it out around him. The opposite of that was with Russell Wilson. It was, I was in a system in Seattle, and I'm not a system quarterback. I'm a scrambler to do things, make things happen. I want to build a system in Denver with Nathaniel Hackett. We want to rebuild from scratch. Brand new guy. I want to play for 10 more years, which means I got to stay in the pocket more. We have a different offense where I'm going to go shotgun, all this stuff. We're going to just figure it out, and it's going to be let Russ cook, but not really. Let me just be me. This is the me that I've wanted to be. So then they're trying to create this brand new thing in Denver with a brand new coach and Russell, a brand new situation. Let's start from scratch. No, let's get you back to what you were doing when you were with Seattle. And Sean Payton's going to be the guy that does that because he's not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm not going to say Sean Payton's a cocky guy, but he's a confident guy. And he's also willing to admit, I'm not going to come in here and just do what I did with Drew Brees. I'm going to go right back to Seattle, and I'm going to look what they did. That's who I got is Russell Wilson. For better or worse, that's my quarterback. So I got to go through and look how that works out. I mean, dude, this is just such a mess of a situation for the Broncos over the last few years that I was even losing track. I was like, wait, did I screw that up? Because it was Gary Kubiak with Simeon and Lynch and Vance Joseph with Simeon and Osweiler and Lynch, and then Vance with Case Keenum. So I think I screwed that up and said Vic was with Case Keenum. Vic got Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, and then Drew Locke and Jeff Driscoll and Brett Rippon and Philip Lindsay, if you remember the weird COVID thing. And then the next year was Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke.
Don't forget Kendall Hinton.
Well, yeah, it was funny because Philip Lindsay technically took the first snap of the game
right out
of the Wildcat, and so that he was the starting quarterback.
Huh.
So he was listed because this thing I have in front of me is just the list of starting quarterbacks for the Broncos in each of these seasons. So Philip Lindsay actually gets the nod as a starting quarterback for that game, even though Hinton was the quarterback, who still mad respect for what he did. But Lindsay takes the first snap out of the Wildcat, so he was the quarterback for that game.
Hmm.
When you are a bad team, here's what it looks like. Coach, quarterback, change over and over again. I can go back, and you can just look at the years that the Broncos always won and just look at the starts, the number. That's key because sometimes they get hurt, whatever. You go back to 84, Elway, 14 starts. Gary Kubiak was his backup with two. 85, all Elway. 86, all Elway. 87, Elway 12, had a backup. 88, Elway 15, 90, Elway 16, 16. In 92, it was 12, and Tommy Maddox had four, and that was a big debate. Oh, is Tommy Maddox going to take Elway's job someday? The next year, back to Elway 16. Our boy, Hugh Millen, actually started two games with the Broncos. Yeah, I didn't even know that. I'm going to have to ask him about that. I'll read that in a second. For the record, Montana was 17-8 in 2 years in Kansas City with a trip to the AFC Championship game. 17-8. What does that come out to be in two seasons then?
It's about a 2-1 win ratio.
Okay. Is that San Francisco-esque when he was there? What were the numbers? His numbers weren't.
When I hear Montana, I don't think of KC.
And he wasn't like tearing it up, lighting it up. But then as the Broncos started, back to my point here, as the Broncos got bad, with John Elway retired, it was Brian Griese, 13 games, Chris Miller, oh, here's Gus Frerotte, three quarterbacks in 1 year, oh, Steve Berline. 2003 was Jake Plummer, Steve Berline, Danny Cannell, Jarius Jackson. Now, those were better years with Plummer, but still. And then after the Plummer years, it was Jay Cutler. Okay, maybe we found our guy. Then it was Kyle Orton, Chris Sims, Kyle Orton, Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton. Brock Osweiler and all that stuff after the Manning days. You can look at it with your head coaches and your quarterbacks right off the bat. It's that easy. I mean, when you look at quarterback carousel and head coach carousel, it's obvious why you're so bad. And the Broncos have been one of the worst teams in the last 7 years of doing that. 35 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out and get a quick look at the local sports flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I just have to sidestep here to tell Dixon how wrong he was. Yeah, maybe the team was okay about Joe Montana, but Joe Montana was not Joe Montana when he was with Kansas City. There is no way you can convince me of that. Just Joe Montana's last year with San Francisco, which wasn't one of his best years, but still pretty good. Actually, that was one of his best years. 4,000 yards. Yeah. Yeah, didn't they win it that year? Was that the year? His last year that he was healthy, because in 91 he got hurt. Or 92 he got hurt. His last year with San Francisco, legitimate year, 4,000 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, and 16 interceptions. His first year with Kansas City, little over 2,000 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. His last year with Kansas City, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 3,200 yards passing.
Boom, roasted.
Yeah, no, he was not. That was not Hall of Fame Joe Montana. That was, who is this imposter? Like, those weren't much
better. Joe Montana.
Yeah, that was Joe Montana that year. So, no. Yeah, they might have been fine that year. They were 8-3 the first year, and then 9-5 the second. Okay, but that still doesn't mean he was Joe Montana with San Francisco. Those were the, I think a lot of Joe Montana people would tell you those are like the forgotten years. All right.
Not the Chiefs fans.
Dixon says, if Russ would give you a 17-8 record in 2 years and a trip to the AFC Championship, you would take that in a heartbeat. Not with those numbers, we'd be getting rid of him. If the Broncos go to the playoffs this year and Russell Wilson's numbers are those numbers I just read off from Kansas City, Joe Montana, they will be looking to deal him as soon as possible. 13 touchdowns. If the Broncos win, so Montana won 8 games. Did they make the playoffs that year? Did they really? I don't know. I don't remember that. I just don't remember Kansas City making the playoffs that year. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, if the Broncos win 8 games, that somehow gets them. Did they?
No, I was looking at what the Chiefs paid him when they made that trade.
Yeah.
In 1993, signed him to $10 million contract over 3 years. Equated to what that'd be now would be about $21 million.
Wow. The times they are changing, mm-hmm. aren't they? But if Dixon's saying, okay, if Russ goes 17-8 in the next 2 years, with those numbers, that means that you're not my reason for doing that. That's Joe Montana was not the reason Kansas City won 8 games and then 9 games the next year. Not with those numbers.
And you didn't pay him a huge amount of money, too.
Yeah.
That's another thing with Russ is the amount of money and draft picks you gave him and the expectations you have of him.
So if I read this to you and I say, at the end of the season, the Broncos won 8 games. Let's just say because of the added game, the Broncos won 9 games, squeaked into a wild card spot, lost. But Russell did Russell Wilson have a good year? Are we going to keep him around next year? Are we looking to get rid of him? His numbers, he threw for just north of 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
That's impressive, but you're not here next year.
Those numbers are impressive.
Impressive that you got to the playoffs with those numbers.
Right. But those numbers are not, we're not paying you for those numbers.
That's not even a good rookie year.
No. What are realistic to feel good about Russell Wilson, doesn't he have to throw more than 20 touchdowns?
I'd say 25.
25 touchdowns to feel good about this?
To feel like, okay, Russ is, he's not as, he fixed whatever happened last
year. Right, he fixed it. 20 would make me go, okay, he's getting back.
Or that it's just 20, he's getting back, but he's older.
25 touchdowns to maybe 10 interceptions, 9 interceptions?
I'd probably go 10 to 15.
10 to 15. That would make us feel good. So, yeah, if I'm coming at you saying, no, instead he did 13 and 7. Yeah, we got a Russ problem. So we won 9 games, and we got a Russ. Yeah, we got a Russ problem. So that you're not wrong on or right on that one, Dixon. If Russ would give you a 17-8 record in 2 years and a trip to the AFC Championship, you would take it in a heartbeat. Yeah, but Russ didn't give me that. My defense must have been that good, and Javonte Williams must have ran for 1,500 yards, and guys were, you know, making plays after the catch. We were winning games 17-10. That's probably what's – if those numbers, the ones you're giving me from Joe Montana, are Russ's numbers – then it ain't Russ that's getting you to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, what did Russ do in Seattle versus what Montana did in San Francisco? And when they go to a new team, Montana's got 4, Russ has 1.
That's why with Peyton Manning, it was so amazing that he just went, bam, a year off, no less. And Joe Montana did have a year off, too. But he has a year off with the neck surgeries, goes right back at it, and wins a lot with Denver. 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, I think 12-4, Super Bowls, going to 2 Super Bowls. I mean, that was what was so phenomenal. They packed a freaking punch. That doesn't happen all the time. Brett Favre, it took him a third team before he got back. You know, he goes to the Jets first, and that was a failure, and then he goes to Minnesota. Okay, that first year in Minnesota, they go to the NFC Championship. That was good. But it is very difficult for quarterbacks to just make that jump and do that. And again, you can tell Joe Dixon says KC Buffalo 1994 AFC Championship game.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay, they made it to the AFC Championship game. That you tell me, Dixon. Be honest, because I know you've got an argument with me now. It wasn't Joe Montana that got you there. Like he was the leader of the San Francisco days. Not even close, man. Okay, what is Austin Eckler saying? Our own local pride and joy of Eaton, Colorado. What is Austin Eckler saying?
Oh, yeah, this came from CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Chargers running back Austin Eckler says he wants to hear from NFL owners as to why running backs aren't getting paid. He also says he was not close to getting traded due to the high picks the Chargers wanted in return for him, which is odd of how they viewed him via trade but refused to pay him. Is there possible collusion between NFL owners about paying running backs?
No. One thing I will say, though, like, yeah, the Chargers could have screwed him over by saying, we're not going to pay you that much, but we got you under contract. You signed a contract, and we're not going to trade you for anything more than whatever they asked. Mm-hmm. They're within their rights to do that. Should they do a good thing and hook him up? That's what Elway did with Chris Harris Jr. Just gave him $3 million for being a person. Like, that doesn't always work. So the other thing, how much is Austin Eckler actually getting paid? Because... And he says he wants to talk to owners. I can tell you why. Listen to hour one today, 11 to noon. We go over it. You're not valued anymore, man.
He's making about $6.2 million this year.
Oh, he's not being paid very well.
That's the second most he's made since his rookie contract, where he made $9.5 million.
What the? Well.
So he went from 9 to 4 to 5 and now up to 6.
I mean, he's not being paid well. Compared to as he's a $10 million plus guy, he probably is. But you know, how long has he been at the top? You know, how long has he been like one of the top tier running backs? And is he a top tier running back? I mean, so here's his numbers. He was a rookie in 17, 260, 554, 557, 530. He had 2 seasons with 911 yards, 915 yards. And then he had 107 receptions in 2022. So last year was the big year for him. The year before that was solid.
But he hasn't cracked 1,000 yards rushing.
No, he hasn't cracked 1,000 yards rushing, but he might have had close to 1,000 yards receiving, to be fair.
Or just total yards. So.
Yeah, total yards.
I'm not paying you for total yards.
Receiving, he was... In 2019, he was darn close. He was 7 yards off. But since then, he hasn't touched the 1,000. He was at 403, 647, 722. So maybe $6 million is about right.
Again, these are talented players, and we're not denying that, but your talent does not equate to my return on investment for how much you want.
Again, when quarterbacks are now starting to do what you do plus throwing the football.
when I can get three guys on my bench that can do all of what you're doing in three separate ways, and they're all going to stay healthy because I'm rotating them in and out, then I'm going
to
do that.
Yeah, that again, I want owners to explain it to me.
They're going to explain it to you because your value is not there anymore.
The NFL changed their rules like 20 years ago, and ever since then, it has been a pass-happy league, and the running back has evolved or they get gone. Like, that's the way it goes, man. Here's the case in point. Javonte Williams was drafted in the second round. His first year, he got close to 1,000 yards rushing, I think is right. He was drafted in the second round. Philip Lindsay was undrafted and had 2,000-yard or 1,000-yard rushing season 2 years in a row, which means I'm better off just going with the no-name guy. He was a name to us, but I'm better off just going with a no-name guy and hoping I have a good offensive line and we can make a go of this than I am to give. So Williams had 903 yards. Second rounder versus an undrafted guy. That's part of it, Eckler. And you can catch. Good for you. Yeah, the Chargers probably screwed you over, but you signed the contract. But the reason why owners aren't paying running backs is because the value's out the window. What did we learn today? Coming up next on the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKI.
Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Enjoy Nuggets coverage year-round on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this 18th day of July? And I learned that there's a reason running backs are not being paid the way they think they should be paid. The NFL has changed. The times they are a change in, they continue to change, and they show no signs of really going back to the way it was with running backs until the rules change. So get used to it. Your position is evolving into something else, and if you can't catch passes out of the backfield or do what Christian McCaffrey does, is run routes, then you're not going to see a big payday ever again as a running back. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that the Broncos and Rockies may be more similar than we think in that they don't really have a plan sometimes.
Elway had plan B, or no, plan A and no plan B.
Yeah, and you know, we went through 5-6 years of Broncos turmoil to figure out how we got to here, and we still don't kind of know what our plan is, so let's ride.
Yeah, the Broncos, it might feel a little bit more like a plan now, but again, the plan could crash and burn, and then it doesn't work. The plan is only really called a plan when it works, and then it's not.
Or when it comes together.
That's, you know, John always said, we're not worried about plan B, we're worried about plan A. Well, plan A worked, but plan A didn't last forever. It's plan B that you needed to work if you wanted to have some consistent success after the Peyton Manning years. And now the Rockies, yeah, they're... It's funny, the Broncos' worst time in franchise history has been the last 7 years, and now that's like, oh, there's now we can talk about them with the Rockies. Now we can put them in the Rockies category because the Rockies...
Aren't the Rockies winning more in the last 10 years or so based on winning percentage?
I don't know, because they might have actually started to go to the playoffs the first couple of years that the Broncos missed. That might have been their playoff runs. So actually maybe, which is pretty, pretty depressing. Yeah, Rockies fans are like, dude, you guys don't make the playoffs? We couldn't even pronounce playoffs up until like 5 years ago. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday for the whole show. Good night, Northern Colorado.